Now we continue through our Revelation Bible study, detailed outline, section 22C, page 25, the fifth trumpet judgment. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 1 reads, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit." And as we have discussed before, a star in the book of Revelation is a reference to an angel. So we're dealing with a fallen angel in the context of the fifth trumpet judgment. We have a reference here to the fact that he was given the key to the bottomless pit. And that term, bottomless pit, literally reads the shaft of the abyss. And this is Tartarus. This is the holding place of fallen angels, the place of angelic imprisonment. This is the place where those sons of God who had married the daughters of men just prior to the Noahic flood, and these sons of God are Ba'elohim. These are angels and fallen angels. And these angels are currently confined in a compartment of hell, if you will, called Tartarus, the place of angelic imprisonment. Where do we find that in the scriptures? Well, in Luke chapter 8, in verse 31, we read about the Gadarene demoniac, and many demons called Legion had exited out of the man at the Lord's command, or at the fact that the Lord was able to govern them because he knew their name. And in Luke chapter 8 and verse 31 we read, "And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss." So they didn't want to be confined to Tartarus. They wanted to keep floating around the earth, inhabiting human bodies and demonically possessing them. We have another reference here in Jude 6. Jude is that one chapter book right before the book of Revelation. And in Jude 6, we read, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." And these are those sons of God, those fallen angels who had come to earth and cohabited with women back in the days of Noah. And there's yet another reference in 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse 4 dealing with this, these same angels in particular. "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." So the fifth angel here, this fallen, fifth angel deals with a star who's a fallen angel who has the key to the bottomless pit, or the shaft of the abyss, or the shaft of Tartarus, if you will. "And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So, the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power." So, when the shaft of the abyss is open, pervasive smoke comes out throughout all of the earth. And this represents the stench of sin and evil by way of application, if I may. Revelation chapter 9 in verse 4 reads, "They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads." Well, normally locusts destroy all of the vegetation that's in their path, but now these supernatural demonic creatures, which resemble locusts and scorpions in some sense, are on earth to harm men during the fifth trumpet judgment. Well, here we read that they were commanded only to harm those men who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. So this means that those who have the seal of God on their foreheads will not be harmed. Well, this number is definitely inclusive of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, which you read about in Revelation chapter 7, verses 4 through 8. But this also implies a special sealing of all believers who are alive in that day. So just as the judgments passed over the Israelites back in the days of the Exodus, this fifth trumpet judgment will pass over those who have the seal of God. And that seal is that of divine protection. Now, by way of cross-reference here, I'd like to go back to the Olivet Discourse, Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. Matthew chapter 24, as we said, is a chapter that parallels a lot of the events in the book of Revelation, especially by way of coming up with the Bible prophecy timeline, which we covered a little bit back. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. If Matthew chapter 24, verse 13 is understood as continual deliverance from divine judgment, in this context, it would apply. Now, these demonic creatures, they look like locusts. They're shaped like horses. They have faces as men and hair as women. Teeth as lion's teeth. Breastplates like iron. And tails that sting like scorpions. And boy, do they make a racket. Reading what the scripture says in Revelation chapter 9, verses 5 through 10, we read, "And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth, and they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months." So 5 months of torment upon unbelievers in that day, those who had not previously accepted Jesus Christ during those tribulation days. And even death by suicide would be elusive for them by supernatural prevention. So 5 months of terrible torment in this fifth trumpet judgment, which is only upon unbelievers in those day, in that day. And we've made the case that believers will be spared the effects of this particular judgment. Although the fact that the vast majority of the people on earth will be unsaved and they won't be functioning is certainly going to hamper the supply of water and normal everyday life of those believers during that time. So during that 5 months of time, they certainly had best be working together. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 11 we read, "And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon." And that term, Hebrew word Abaddon, or Greek Apollyon, means destroyer. So this is the name of one of the angels, one of the fallen angels that we find in the scriptures. And then in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 12 we read, "One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things." Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 15 begins the account of the sixth trumpet judgment. And then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now these are four demonic princes, principalities, if you will, who are allowed by God not to torment, but to kill. Note here that God has the power to restrain all evil and demonic activity as he chooses. Notice that these fallen angels had been bound, but now they are released. And if all of the fallen angels who are being confined were today unbound, mankind would not stand a chance. It is only by the grace of God that we are able to stand any chance. And we thank our Lord God for it. So this time, these four demonic princes are there not to torment, but to kill. And in verse 15, we read that they were released to kill, quote, a third of mankind. So the population of the earth is going to be greatly diminished at this time. And in verse 16, we read, now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. So here we have 200 million demonic horsemen. Now this is not a human army. Some people try to make these Chinese cavalrymen and things like that. That kind of speculation is craziness. There is nothing to warrant that in the scriptures. In fact, in the context that we've read in Revelation chapter 9, we're dealing with demonic hordes, not human armies. What is also interesting here is that the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. So if the number 200 million could be numbered, when we take a look at Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, we read, backtracking a little bit, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands. So this would seem to imply to us that there are more than 200 million saved before the throne. Because 200 million can be numbered, but that number cannot be numbered. And this, of course, gives the lie to the Jehovah Witnesses' fuzzy math, you know, where they have only 144,000. And what they do is basically spiritualize everything away that is in Revelation chapter 7, when it's not meant to be spiritualized. These things are meant to be taken literally, and we always understand the Bible literally, unless there's a very good reason not to. So we've got 144,000 Jewish evangelists and more than 200 million saved of the church age before the throne. So we thank God that even though it's a minority, even though narrow is the way and there are a few that find it, that there are still a substantial number of people who are going to be redeemed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And friend, if you haven't been redeemed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, you have a very, very fateful future, a very, very distressing future at hand. If the Lord comes back in your lifetime, you're going to have to deal with a lot of these judgments, and who knows how long you're going to make it. And if the Lord doesn't come back in your lifetime, you know what? Death is going to come. And when that happens, that's the last chance. That's it. There's no chance after we leave this life. If you have not believed upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, admitted you're a sinner, trusted that he paid the penalty for your sin and is risen again and is able to save you to the uttermost. If you haven't done that, I urge you, friend, to do that now, because you don't want to be one at the great white throne judgment, which we'll be getting to as we continue.